Hello there and welcome to another episode of A Four Times in a Podcast. This episode comes to you on Sunday the 17th of October. It's just over 24 hours since Celtic recorded a 2-0 victory at Fir Park against Motherwell. The goals yesterday came from Iota and David Turnbull. That's now two away wins in a row. Another good performance, I think. Danny, I'll come to you straight away. It was first game back after the international break, and although we'd won at Pittodrie a few weeks ago, the away form was still questionable, but that's the sort of performance and result that will put that sort of talk to bed in the coming weeks if we keep that up. What was your thoughts on the game yesterday?
You're right about that, about the talk about us not being able to win away and stuff. I thought yesterday was as good as a Saturday as it could have been with results elsewhere, but in terms of just plainly Celtic, it was a professional win. We won away from home with plenty to spare. I couldn't mind. Certainly no happened this season, but it was a lot. It was funny because the Aberdeen game was all about just winning, like winning away from home, and it was great just to win away from home and stuff. It was great to win away from home and get that win and get that monkey off Ange's back where, right, you can go away from home, but to go and play the way they did yesterday, completely never got out of second gear, but looked dangerous every time we went forward. Players like, I thought McGregor was outstanding. I thought from start to finish he was the best player on the park by a mile. Kyogo, quite quiet, but then you see his impact in the first half. He wins the ball back leading to the first goal. He runs about a madman. I was watching Paul that does Celtic Fan TV, and the guy that he was interviewing, he made a great point about Kyogo. He says when you see a guy like that running about like a maddie, you almost feel obliged to join in. And he does. Kyogo, he leads by example. And I thought yesterday's work rate's just phenomenal. His link-up play was really good to number one. I think it was right at the end of the first half where he just did a lovely wee touch, Uriboy, and he played a good pass, and it led to a breakaway. But Rogic was very good. Tumble, I thought, struggled. I thought he grew into the game a wee bit. Scored a great goal in the second half, but it wasn't his finest performance. But the whole defence looked good. Starfelt looked really composed. He actually looked a lot more comfortable coming out of defence with the ball. I seen him kind of dribbling out a few times. Carter Vickers always impresses me. I think he's the no-nonsense defender. He puts his head in where it hurts. He's no afraid to go and attack crosses that come into the box. Joe Hart, everybody's making a big thing about the kind of back heel flick that he'd done, but what was more impressive is he picked out ball and goalie with a good pass after it. So and obviously Bolly came back. I think a lot of people are making an awful lot about Bolly. Well, I thought he was steady and spectacular, but a good, you know, it was, as I've seen, as you know, he gets quoted on here a lot, and I know he's listening, but Maya said that, you know, it's a long time since they played like that away from home, and if that can become the norm and we can go on a run of winning games, then that's, you know, we'll be climbing right back up the league.
Aye, definitely. As you say, Danny, those two changes from the trip to Pittodrie saw Neil Beaton and Adam Montgomery drop out. I think Montgomery was took a knock in training, but Tom Rogic came back in from the start, and as you say, the much spoken about volleyball and goalie came in. I don't know. I thought he gave us a bit of balance, and like, I don't think there's much to choose between like our three left back, like Taylor, Montgomery, and Bolingoli. I know Scales is there as well, but he's barely featured. But out of the ones that have played me in a few games, like I don't think there's very much between them. I thought Bolly was all right. I'm the same as you. I think it either goes both ways with Bolly. You've got people who will criticise him and never want to see him in a Celtic shirt again, and then you've got people who I think went a bit over the top yesterday with how well he played and like came out as if he was this, like he'd revitalised the team. I thought he was, like, as you said, I thought he was very steady. And so obviously, Andy, I'll come to you because I know just heard from Danny. So before I get your thoughts on the game, I just to stay on Bolly for a second, where does that sort of leave us again on Tuesday? Because obviously Bolly wasn't registered with a Europa League squad. So is that a concern for you again on Tuesday?
I mean, it's got to be. Obviously, he played well enough and he would have merited, if he was registered, he would have merited sort of playing and keeping his place. But it's not been done. It's nothing that we can dwell on and really sort of put too much thought in. We can't change it now. And we've just got to obviously use the players we'll have at our disposal. Do you know how long Greg Taylor's going to be for obviously being back?
I'm pretty sure Taylor's towards the end of November. I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere. What was your thoughts on Bolly yesterday? I know we'll come on to Ferencváros game in a bit. What was your thoughts on him and the team in general yesterday?
Like you said, the game itself was obviously we'd already won an away game, which was massive, against Aberdeen. So obviously there's still massive amount of pressure in the game, but I think that's what we were only getting into it. still worried about that, because you knew, obviously, right, that monkey was half a back now. It's just about getting away, putting a good performance in, getting the 3 points, and that's obviously what we've done. I thought the goal, Yota's goal, was brilliant. The ball into him, and then again, takes it with the right, finishes it with the left. Tumble's goal, the same. I think there's a lot of positives to take away, and it's obviously, this is happening with players are coming back into the side. We're getting closer and closer to what you would say is a full-strength starting 11. And it's a big result, obviously, given that Rangers had dropped points. So it was massive to get that performance in there, go away. And like you say, we're playing with that style at times, that Angie's football bring. It was a lot of positives for me to take. And again, Ball, he's done himself absolutely no harm, and it's a position where we're struggling. We obviously all want signings for it. We've had our new right-back sort of getting into left-back, trying to cover, because we've not really had any depth there at all, or anybody that's trying to justify keeping the spot. But it was a good performance, Darren. I think that, like I say, it was part of it, we're going to date ARF with some terrible decisions. But apart from that, I think it was positive, and it's good to see that even, obviously, Furuhashi had a quieter game yesterday. But yeah, again, the rest of the team, they've got goals in them, and that's something that we really do need, because we were always sort of worried in case that's what happens. You become sort of reliant on one person. They dig out a whole lot of time, and obviously we're starting to see Yota putting the ball in the net, Tumbles, got a couple of goals as well. It's promising, and I think that's only going to get better. And as I said earlier, when the Mer and Mer players that start to come back for injuries and various things like that, I think ultimately it's only going to sort of leave us in a stronger position as well. I think Mikey Johnston came off the bench, Jackie Marcus came off the bench. But two players who obviously were, for different reasons, have not had any real game time at Celtic so far because of injuries and things like that. So again, it's just further depth to the squad that we've got, and it's good to finally start to see a squad forming together with positive performances out of the park.
I think that's extremely fair. I think the big concern a lot of us had in September when we had a few injuries was the lack of options on the bench. And like, as you say, Yakimakis came on, I thought he'd done all right. I thought he'd won where he tried to cut it back when he should have maybe went for goal himself. But he'll still be getting to know how we play in this system and should improve in the weeks to come. I know we've got quite a few games coming up again, so he'll be definitely very useful to have. As you say, Mikey Johnston is a player who's had a number of injury problems over the years, so hopefully he can just sort of get back to full fitness and put his injury worries behind him. And even guys that are still looking back, you've got James Forrest, Christopher Julian's back in training finally, which is great to see, because I think he'll just suit Andrew's team right down to the ground. I think he's a great passer of the ball, and I think he'll flourish in this team. Danny, as Andy mentioned, he had teams run about Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Hibernian, and even Motherwell. All of them dropped points this weekend, and although it's still very early in the season, it gets Celtic back on the right track and to put pressure on these sort of teams. I know Celtic play first next week before Rangers, so being able to potentially cut that gap to a point and put a lot of pressure on them this weekend could have been quite significant in terms of that.
Definitely. I mean, it felt significant yesterday when Hearts equalised, and it was a good atmosphere of Celtic fans at the game, but it definitely ramped up in the last 5 minutes because your game was finishing a wee bit later. And the celebrations at the end, it felt really significant. It felt like a big day in the title race. And you get moments like that. And I think the most satisfying thing for us is what Angie's team really needed was to win a routine game like that. You know, we want these games to be the norm. We want to, you know, play and win games like that, you know, every week. So the most pleasing thing was you get, you know, when you win your games, you get, you know, you make your own luck in the league, and we got that wee bit of luck with an equaliser. And actually, the equaliser was the best thing that could happen to us, because Hearts winning would have put them even, you know, would have kept the gap with them. So as you say, we make points on near enough everybody that was above us, apart from the United. It was a good weekend, and you get the fact, you get the idea or the impression that Celtic are getting a lot of players back now, and the squad's not as thin as it used to be. And I know Andy picked up on it. I thought Johnson looked lively when he came on. I thought he looked quite sharp, which was good to see coming back for an injury. History shows he's not too far away for his next injury, but hopefully he can put that behind him, get a run of games, because he is very effective when, you know, when he's playing at full floor. I'm a big fan of Mikey Johnson. Jota is very good as well. I love how he's just come into the team. You know, there seems to be no, as soon as he signed, I know Christie left and opened a space up, but Jota's been excellent. Yaku Marcus, I thought he, when he came on, he looked, you know, the one he should have had a shot and he kind of cut it back. But, you know, with game time, he'll get a bit of sharpness and we've got more options. The bench doesn't look as terrifying as it used to, you know, 3-4 weeks ago. So do I think we're there? No, no by a long shot. I think Juranovic coming back, don't get me wrong, I actually thought Ralston played quite well yesterday. But I just think we, Juranovic at right back, getting him into the team, get him 5, 6, 7 games under him, and we can get going. I think Andy's pretty spot on his assessment of things, so it's just about us doing our bit each week and see what happens. And we're not there yet, of course we're not, but January was, everybody's like, January needs to come, we need to sign 6, 7 players. Well, the way things are going now, you know, we look as if it's us 1-2 kind of big away games in a row, and the next 3 games are vital. If we can take 9 points for them, we'll be in a good place getting into, you know, the busy festive period, especially with like Europe and Betfred as well. So things are a wee bit more positive after the last two games.
Aye, and as Danny said, we're in a sort of positive mood ever since that. I know we drew against Dundee United and then lost heavily to Bayer Leverkusen, but we've responded well to that, and we now go into the Tuesday afternoon game, which, and I know it's a weird time for a Europa League game, and a lot of fans will struggle to get to it or be pulling sickies or whatever, but we do face our old foes Ferencvaros on Tuesday afternoon, and what surely is a pivotal game if Celtic are looking to get out of this Europa League group at all. Now, I know we've had some sort of bright sparks in the first two games, but we have been conceding goals on like a very frequent basis in the games. And I think, I've not, obviously Celtic playing at the same time, I've not seen any Ferencvaros games, but by all accounts, they've given a good account of themselves as well. So what is your thoughts going on Tuesday afternoon, Andy?
It's like any home game for Celtic at all. I mean, just sure you've got to win the home games, and I think it's one of them. It's, we've obviously played 2 games so far in the Europa League against Leverkusen, played Betis. We've came away with 8 points, conceded fucking 8 goals in that time. You would think if we really want to sort of qualify and go out of the group, it's, you need to win the game. That's a simple reality. So it's a tough game. They're obviously in a similar position in the sense that I know obviously they lost both their games, didn't they concede nearly as many goals as we did, and obviously we've got experience of playing them when they knocked us out in the Champions League before, so it'll be a tough game. I don't really doubt that. I think they'll be up for it. They'll fancy themselves given what's happened previously, and given the fact that we've conceded goals for fun and have looked quite leaky. Don't get me wrong, I think our squads were considerably weaker then, given the injuries and things like that. But we're obviously in a better place now than we would have been for against the Leverkusen games and the Real Betis game. So I'm confident getting into it. I think that we're starting to sort of play well again, and we are scoring goals ourselves. I think it's obviously a clean sheet against Motherwell, which is massive. Because we have been sort of conceding goals for the majority of games, even the ones we win, it tends to be a sort of scoring, both teams score situation for most weeks against us. But I think that I'm confident in it, darn. I think that we've got enough in us to get through that game, and I really just hope we play well. It's one of the things, like, it's, players have got to use that as a springboard, like, you get a good European performance in after a result in the league, do you know what I mean? And then before you know it, it's, there's positivity. And again, it'll be a chance for for players to really sort of nail down their positions in the squad and sort of take us forward. But I'm looking forward to it. I'll hopefully be able to get there. I'm not 100% certain tomorrow if I'll make it to the game, but I'm thinking it'll be a victory.
Aye, I certainly hope so. I'm in the same situation as you, and I'm sure same as many fans are still trying to work out arrangements to get to the game. But Danny, have you got any sort of concern, obviously, on Celtic Park European nights? It's underneath the lights and it's usually a great atmosphere, but have you got any sort of concern that will have a negative impact on us on Tuesday, given that the game's not sold out yet, and as I said, it is in the middle of the afternoon?
There's always concern, though, because when we were younger, it used to be Celtic home in Europe was an automatic win, and you were just wondering who was going to score the goals. But we've not been great in Europe this year. I actually thought the results haven't been great. I thought we played really well in Betis, and if we could repeat that performance, we'll score another three goals, maybe even more, and take a few off finish for us. I thought we played really well against Bayer Leverkusen. 4-0 defeat at home is awful, should never happen, but it looks bad. But then you see, UEFA tweeting about Hideki's performance and showing highlights here, and you think, we did, some of the chances that we created were really good, and the keepers are the worldy. But we need to get back on track. We need to win these two games. The main objective should be, first and foremost, just take 4 points off Ferenc Varos, knock them out, essentially, so we're at least in the Conference League getting into. Because, Europe is important to Celtic, always has been, and people might turn their nose up at Europa League Conference, but see if we can get into that post-Christmas. And some of the teams in that, I know Spurs are in it and Roma are in it, but there's some beatable teams, and we've no won a knockout tie in fucking 17 years, so, and it'll be 18. So it'll be 18 before we get at least the sniffier chance again. So we should be looking to at least get into the Europa Conference group. Ideally, Leverkusen will take 6 points off Betis, and if we can take six off Ferenc Varos, then we could look towards the Betis game at home and thinking, we could maybe get a draw there. I could maybe beat them. And then, hopefully maybe get a draw and Leverkusen will be through and maybe take advantage of it and get a draw there. But it's a big game. I think we'll do well. I think we'll win. The way we've been playing recently at home is good. And, not only is that a weird kick-off for... it's a weird kick-off time for us, but it's also a weird kick-off time for them as well. And what do you think the crowd will be? Maybe 30, 40,000? I don't think they should be too optimistic for a big crowd with the time. It's an absolutely disgusting kick-off time. Absolutely disgusting. And again, fans are second. Fans seem to be second priority in these situations. You'd have thought after, how long we had with foot fitba and how shite it was for everybody that maybe they... I know it's tough with this COP26 thing and no game's been allowed to play in that, but, surely they could have come up with a better solution than half free in a Tuesday afternoon. But disappointing, but you need to get on with it, and hopefully we can get back on track. And I think it'd be good to win again, and then obviously look towards the week after.
Aye, just on what you said about the attendance, I think it will be weird. I think you'll probably have about 40,000, because I don't know, it may be one of the ones that it might actually get busier the more the game goes on, because you've obviously got people like us who are trying to get from up, but you have a lot of students who are at college, uni, or school who try to get there. It's just, as you say, I think this is the same UEFA who 6 months ago were claiming to have saved football by boycotting the Super League, and who they were meant to be the ones saving it for the fans, when now, as you say, you're fucking getting shafted into this ridiculous time slot. But as you say, it's the same for both teams. We've just got to turn up, most of our games to play the weekend at that time, so I don't think it'll affect the players too much in that sort of regard. And much what you used to have said, I think we need to, I think 4 points would probably do it, but if we were to come through these two games with 6 points, as you said, if Leverkusen do hand it out to Betis and take 6 points off them, then that does give you that chance to really going toe-to-toe with them for that second spot. But any sort of football after Christmas in Europe would be greatly welcomed by the fans, I'm sure, no matter what the competition is. So I think we just need to try and get, I know, as much as I'm saying 4 points, I think you do need 3 points on Tuesday just to really put the pressure on Ferencváros. And I think we will. I think we're coming back, the team's a bit stronger. Andy, I'll come back to you about what I spoke to you about earlier, like how will Celtic line up, and that big question mark that sort of I mentioned earlier is who will play left back for Celtic on Tuesday?
It's a strange one. I'm not actually sure. I don't even know whether I might see Scales in there, given, like you mentioned, Bolingo obviously can't play, but you would assume it'll be him and Montgomery, and that's really the only options I think we have. Because, I mean, the alternative to that would have been Juranovic, when obviously Taylor's missing, but again, he's still injured. So I would suggest it with them, but Danny's right, we played really well, to be honest, against, like, going forward, we were good against Leverkusen, and their keeper did make some outstanding saves. But, I think that is sort of being overlooked a wee bit, but the scorelines can do that at times. And we're playing a team who are obviously not going to be sort of ruthless and clinical as Leverkusen. So I think going forward, if we play this in the same manner, then I fancy it. But I think the team more or less sort of picks itself. Or in the left back, I think it'll be the same lineup we've seen against Motherwell. As long as there's no other sort of niggles or injuries anywhere. But we've played well in Europe, particularly going forward against two really, really good sides. Obviously, we scored quite a few goals against Betis, and then against Leverkusen, they had an outstanding goalkeeping performance. Like, they deserved to win the game, but we did play really well at times. And we're putting a lot of good phases of play together and creating ourselves good chances, which Nanardi obviously goes in. I'm looking forward to that, and I do think there's going to be goals in the game. I think we probably will concede, but I think we're going to come away with a 3-1 victory. And like I say, it'll be a similar lineup to what we've just seen at the weekend, but I'm going to think it's a 3-1 victory now.
Danny, you making any changes to the team that won at Motherwell yesterday? I know, obviously, Bolly will be an enforced change, but how are you lining up on Tuesday?
I'm Lee Andy. I don't think I would make too many changes. I think obviously Bolly Hosty came out, but I would play Montgomery if he's fit. If not, I would give Scales a run out. I'd rather play him there than... if Juranovic is fit, I think he'd play there, but I'd rather play Scales there than, you know, start messing about with maybe centre-halves or something. But I wouldn't make too many changes. I'd keep the same team, and then... kind of like Saturday, if all's going well, you can bring Beaton on to break the game up. I thought it was a really good substitution behind yesterday. Beaton was a perfect sub at the right time. And then obviously Jakimakis and Johnson got a run out as well. So hopefully something similar on Thursday night. I think we'll win 3-0. I think we'll score. I think Kyogo's due a goal in Europe for us, and I think Kyogo and he'll get two, and I think Tumble will get the other.
I am much the same as you. I think it will be pretty much the same team. Without sounding too harsh on Tumble, he scored a cracking goal yesterday, but I wouldn't be against Beaton coming in, and I'm not even a massive fan of Beaton, as I've said on here before, but if you were to tell me to bring Beaton in and play McGregor and Rogic ahead of him, then I wouldn't be against that, but I think it will be pretty much the same lineup. Being too much an echo to Danny, I think that I'm the same. If I'd play Juranovic if he's fit, and if no, then you're going to have to go with Scales. I don't know what situation Montgomery is, but obviously he's another option as well, so hopefully at least one of them sit, because as you say, like, you don't want to be left in a sort of weird situation where you're playing another centre-half at left-back. And I actually think it'll be quite a tough game. I think Ferencváros will be looking at it the same way we are, that they'll be looking to, they've won at Celtic Park only like 14 months ago or whatever it was, they'll fancy themselves to come here and do the same again. And I think they played well in Germany, and from what I read, as I said, they played well against Betis as well, so I think it'll be tough, but I think Celtic will edge it, and I think they'll win 2-1, and I think Jakimakis will come off the bench and get the winner and really endear himself to however many Celtic fans they make it to the game on Tuesday. But we will be back after that game, and we'll have a full review of the Ferencváros game and we'll look towards the St Johnstone game. But just something we wanted to announce on here, you might have seen it on our Twitter or our Facebook if you follow us on there. We are doing a live podcast, or as it's known, a podcast, in Malone's in Glasgow, up Sucky Hall Lane. It's a great pub. We've frequented there quite often, and now we're looking to work with the guys. Obviously, if you know, Tony's done some great events with them, with some ex-Celtic players in the recent weeks, and they've went really well, and they've came to us, and we've got the chance to put this on. It's going to be 11-1 next Saturday, before the St Johnstone game, which is the 23rd of October. We'll be there just sort of shooting the shit the same way we do on here, maybe a wee bit unfiltered. It'll only be available in the pub, it won't be sort of streamed or recorded. So it'd be great to see any of you there if you can make it. There'll be perfect way to get yourself into the mood for the St Johnstone game as the Celts look to continue climbing the league table. But Andy, it's something I'm looking forward to, isn't
it? I look forward to it. Should be a good wee event, for something for people to do before the game, obviously. Have a couple of pints, it'll likely be interactive. We'll obviously be speaking with people there, and probably a bit like the phone-ins, to be honest with you. As you say, it'll be sort of unfiltered, just talking shit about the game and obviously predictions and things like that. And I mean, I heard there's going to be rolls and bacon getting dished out, so if not for us, then date for us, can I?
Aye, so it'd be good if he's turned up, because if yous don't eat the rolls and we're going to have 10, you're going to need to put us in a wheelbarrow and take us to Celtic Park on a Saturday. Tony will be there. I know he's not been on this episode. He's been out in Ireland with Brian McLeod doing a few shows, so he will be back after the Ferencváros game, and he'll be at Malone's next Saturday as well. So anybody's wanting to talk to Tony, that's your opportunity as well. But no, that'll do us for the night, and we'd just like to thank you for listening. It's been good to be back. I know we've had a few internationals, which is why we've not been on for a few weeks, but it's good to see Celtic back winning and climbing the table, and hopefully we'll be back on Tuesday night with a reaction podcast to Celtic hopefully beating Ferencváros and climbing the Europa League table. But cheers.
Oh, while the mum's got talking in the village store, I was three, you were four. You look lovely, that's for sure, just something about you. Together we went everywhere, you scratched my face, I pulled your hair. You sent me tumbling down the stairs, just something about you. You must have known that I want you. You must have known that I want you. Something about you. You went to university, you lost your virginity. So more of him and less of me, just something about you. You must have known that I want you.
I want you.
You must have known that I want you. Told you something happened. Trailing on the wall like sexy lighting. Anymore. I'm 23 or 24. You're still gorgeous, that's for sure. Still something about you. Now we've done it everywhere. You scratch my back, I pull your hair. We've even done it on the stairs. Still something about you. things happening. Trailing on the wall, make sexy lighting this time. Come on, and it's changing.